talking about? Well, DJ Black Icon One, The Law, and myself, Mama Soul, are super excited to share with you the Harlem connection to women who rock. And we will be joined by a special guest as well, the one and only Miss Liv Warfield, because she is indeed a woman who rocks. So join us this Friday, 10 p.m., right here on WBAI 99.5 FM,
New York,
and worldwide on WBAI.org. And don't forget to catch the replay on Sundays at 3 a.m. And also, we invite you to take a deeper dive into the Harlem Connection radio show by listening to the program archives.
And the previous program was Real World with Mike Sargent, heard Fridays at 6:30 p.m. right after the WBAI Evening News. It is now 3 minutes past 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Radio GBE with Imhotep Gary Bird here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online.
Well, greetings, in the name of God and the ancestors, in his footsteps we walk, and upon whose ideas we fly. Imhotep Gary Bird, the Radio Griot, telling our story, lifting every voice, and greeting you from 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. Welcome to our broadcast. First of all, those of you in the tri-state, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and right through the five boroughs in Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, Long Island, Staten Island, wherever you are. And of course, those of you who are catching us from planet Africa, we are coming to you live from Heritage Village, USA, on this Friday, from the tri-state through the USA, and of course, through the Global Black Experience Diaspora. Welcome to our Friday night broadcast as we continue to move through this first month of 2022. You know, you have to like fix your mouth a certain kind of way to say it. You know, like I'm saying 2022. It's amazing. For those of us who will stretch back across several decades, it is, as they say, it's grace to be here. No question about that. Greetings to you all and welcome to our program this evening. Good to have you with us tonight. We are setting the stage, as many of you know, for King Day, which is coming up. I'm talking about the national holiday celebration in honor of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s contribution, frankly, not to just the USA, but to the world. That national holiday is being celebrated around the country and actually a few other places as well, coming up on Monday. We'll have a chance tonight inside of the broadcast to talk about it and also to set the stage, if you will, for another aspect of what happens at this particular event each and every year. I'm speaking, of course, of the National Action Network. And many of you know that Reverend Al Sharpton, who has been in the position of really, I think, assuming the mantle of so many of our great leaders, from Adam Powell to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and carrying the mantle, so to speak, has an annual event that they do at the network each and every year in honor of Dr. King. We'll highlight that event tonight inside of the broadcast, King Day, which is coming up again Monday, January 17th, and a very special public policy forum, which is a part of it, here locally, but also in Washington, D.C. as well. NAN is encouraging elected officials, community activists, clergy, and leaders across the country to pause and remember the example of Dr. King and the importance of his work. The annual King Day events from the network not only celebrate Dr. King's legacy, but provide an opportunity to refocus on the work that has to be done to advance his dream. And certainly the National Action Network has been very much, as they say, on the case in that particular effort. We are honored tonight inside of the broadcast to have with us Attorney Michael Hardy, Executive Vice President, Chief Counsel, and co-founder of NAN, the National Action Network, who will join us tonight inside of the broadcast to set the stage for the King Day events that will be happening with the National Action Network, and also, obviously, the dynamics that we're moving through right now in terms of the clear emphasis that this moment is calling for, an issue that Dr. King ironically fought for back in the day, the issue of voting rights. Michael Hardy will join us around 7:15 outside of our broadcast. 7:30 tonight, we'll welcome our brother Herb Boyd, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, who'll be with us tonight inside of our What's Going On segment. A lot for us to talk about inside of that. Obviously, as some of you know, the Supreme Court of the United States seems in this instance blocking the vaccination mandate of President Biden, which is, of course, a blow at this particular moment. And we are seeing President Biden, frankly, not surprisingly, stepping out on the question of voting rights. There have been some rumblings, so to speak, not just within the Democratic Party, but within, if you will, our community, the African-American community and progressive others who are saying that, you know, obviously, in this instance of what we've seen the Republicans doing across the country, setting up the blockades that they are related to voting rights, why haven't we seen more coming from the White House? And what was the election for in terms of that? We'll get into that also with Attorney Hardy and Brother Herb Boyd tonight inside of our broadcast. This evening, in that same note, as we move into the period of time of the King holiday coming up on Monday, very important to note that in reality, there's a moment here where, in terms of Dr. King's birthday, that's a different day. You know, we have the King holiday, which occurs on the Monday, but Dr. King's birthday is coming, and that occurs this weekend on Saturday. And tonight, inside of the broadcast, we'll have a chance to welcome a brother who is, as many of you know, he's no stranger to this broadcast. For our family from the Jersey side, I'm speaking of Brother Larry Hamm of the People's Organization for Progress, who will join us tonight to talk about a march that they have scheduled for King's birthday on Saturday that's going to be targeting that very issue and another as well, voting rights and racial justice. Larry Hamm will join us before we clear out the hour from 7:45 to about 8 p.m. this evening. And then at 8 tonight, I know that many of you right now are aware of the information concerning, as they say, one of our beloveds. I'm speaking of a brother who was just so incredibly multi-talented that I think it was difficult for people collectively to realize who we had within our midst. He had made his transition. Brother James Mtune, who many of you know through his work as a Grammy Award-winning musician, arranger, recording artist, and of course as a broadcast commentator as well, down the dial at one of the stations that I work with, of course WBLS, and the fabulous program Open Line. Brother Mtune has passed. He has made his transition, and in that context, we are going to be saluting him this evening inside of our Global Beat Experience. In a special way, we'll probably wind up doing a couple of programs on Mtune because they say he deserves all of that. But tonight, we'll focus in on the dynamic of how he put together the kind of perspective that he did about music and the role of culture and the common connection of what unites us through culture inside of our broadcast this evening. We'll also have a statement in relationship to the family. In relationship to the passing of Brother Mtune, another further acknowledgement that we'll share with you tonight inside of the program. That's in the second hour in our Global Beat Experience. It's every passing is a challenge. Obviously, we just had the recent situation with Sidney Poitier, Lemegeneer, and, you know, there are a host of those before then. And I remember watching a program with Brother Quincy Jones. This was one of the Entertainment Tonight programs, that type of thing. And someone had passed and they were speaking to Quincy about it. And he commented that he had lost in a year 104 people. Okay. So this is pre-COVID. Okay. And I'm talking just to clarify, it's not COVID. This was pre-COVID. So I can't even imagine, you know, with the circle that he's in globally, of what that looked like through the course of COVID-19 and everything we've seen with the pandemic. But some of us share, if you will, maybe not in the same volume numbers, but in numbers that certainly are more than your fingers. Okay, I certainly count myself as one of them. And it's a challenging moment, frankly. You know, we give thanks for the recognition that these beloveds that we've lost are on the other side. They are now ancestors, and, you know, with the power that wields as well, that they take on to the next plane. But at the same time, I know many of you will understand where I'm coming from when you look up and you've lost multiple friends, family, you know, mates, partners, you know, whatever and so forth. And you have those moments where you want to say something, and sometimes you might be reaching for the phone to make a call that you would normally make to that person, or, you know, you're ready to say something and the person's not there, you know. Sometimes it could be your children, and some of you know that particular challenge as I do. So it's in the case of Brother Mtune, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to digest it. That's the best I can say right now. But as I say, we'll do our best because we all have to continue onward into this decade of the 2020s. But look for tonight. I will have a special tribute to Brother Mtune this evening, Global Beat Experience. Sister Vic K. Price joining us tonight inside of our Globetrotting Experience this evening. Look forward to having our sister with us tonight as well. We'll have a word from Bird that actually helps to set that stage for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As he talks about how to build something that ultimately is a requirement for all of us, how to build your life's blueprint. Tonight we'll play a short version of Dr. King's work in that area. And on Sunday in our GBE Mind Flight, we'll play the longer version. The short one's like a little over 2 minutes or so. The long version is about a 20-minute piece, and we'll play that on Sunday in Mind Flight. So look forward to that as well. Well, as we start the program tonight, as I mentioned before, we are in a moment here, a moment of challenge, and a moment that ultimately, I love that Gary Porter thing that Larry Hamm was talking about, 1960 what? Because frankly, it sometimes feels as if we are inside of a 60s time tunnel sometimes in relationship to some of the areas and topics that we wind up speaking about, voting rights, of course, being among them. And that brings up the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Civil Rights Movement that saw take place in the 1950s and the 1970s. We'll talk tonight inside of the broadcast from the 50s, the 60s, and on to what became a legacy and certainly a struggle in which Dr. King gave his life. As I mentioned tonight, there's a special event celebrating Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the movement with which he stood, which we'll highlight tonight inside of the broadcast. It's happening at the National Action Network. And joining us tonight to set the stage for King Day and the Public Policy Forum that will take place on Monday, January 17th at the National Action Network is our brother, Attorney Michael Hardy. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Counsel and Co-Founder for the National Action Network. And, of course, as they say, a friend and a family member of our broadcast for so many years. Brother Mike has been on the front line of many of the battles that we have seen take place in New York. And frankly, there are more, perhaps, than people necessarily think about. They may think about the cases, but ultimately, when you really recognize that those cases are cases that aren't occurring in relationship to how they happen here down south. Herb and I, several years ago, I began talking about the cases that were happening here that were challenging in relationship to the issue of civil rights and social justice and whatnot as this being up south. And, you know, same thing with some of the voting, frankly, for that matter. Battles and challenges that you ultimately, in many cases, will associate with, you will, the southern tier of the United States and the battles that were fought by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many others back in the day that ultimately have their place, if you will, in the North and are part of that challenge as well. Just a part of the reality that we face, as we now see even in relationship to some of the cases of police brutality that's occurring here in our hemisphere as well. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome our brother tonight inside of the broadcast, Executive Vice President, Chief Counsel, Co-Founder of the National Action Network, to set the stage for King Day and the Public Policy Forum occurring at the National Action Network and beyond as well on Monday, January 17th. Let's welcome Attorney Michael Hardy. Brother Hardy, good evening. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
And Happy New Year too, Brother Bird. And thank you for having us here. And it's we're going to kick off the new year as we always do with the fabulous and important King Day weekend.
There has been certainly a tradition set in motion by this, and I know that Dan always makes the point about it, as I mentioned a moment ago, not only celebrating Dr. King's legacy, but really providing the opportunity to refocus on the work that we do to advance his dream. I was saying a moment ago, there's a song I just got turned to do by his brother Gary Porter. The song is called 1960 What? And sometimes, I said a moment ago, feels like we're in a time tunnel with these issues that we continue to revisit.
No, that's right. And that's why, again, you know, this year the policy forum will be very important. You know, in D.C., we will do our normal breakfast, although it won't be normal because of COVID. Nothing is normal in these days. And so our breakfast in Washington will be virtual. But the substance of the breakfast will be important. And we want to urge everybody to make sure that they're logging into National Action Network to be able to catch the D.C. part of the program. We're going to have Kristen Clark, who's the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Justice. Of course, our program in Washington is always presided over by Martin Luther King III and his wife, Andrea Waters King, who's also the president of the Drum Major Institute. Secretary Yellen is going to be one of the presenters also. She's Treasury Secretary, and a lot is tied up in that in terms of how people are having to live their lives and their finances through the whole COVID thing. And one of the wonderful honorees this year in Washington will be the granddaughter of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King III, Yolanda Renee King.
Yeah.
And it will be a very special tribute put together, and so much good work is done by the Senior Vice President of Policy and Strategic Partnerships, Ebony Riley, in our National Action Network Washington Bureau. And then we come to New York, Gary, and in New York, it is our policy forum, and every major official in the city will be coming through to make themselves available to our community so that they can brief us on the issues that are going to be important to us and the issues that we always look for in the context of particularly National Action Network doing its work in the King tradition. And so we are expecting everyone from the governor of the state of New York, Kathy Hochul, to the comptrollers, and to our new mayor, our dear brother and colleague in the struggle, Eric Adams, yep. who is now the elected mayor of the city, this great city of New York. So it's going to be a very impactful day for sure.
I love the framing that you put around this, because I was looking at some of the layout of the material, but it talked about how local elected officials have participated in New York City Forum addressing the local community. This is the key phrase I wanted to pull out on what they will do in the coming year to continue making Dr. King's dream possible, and how your efforts this year will align with his legacy. I think that's a great positioning for, frankly, all elected officials on a regular yearly basis, to have to basically step forward and make sure that they're speaking under that crown, if you will, that Dr. King has left us.
No, that's for sure. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why I think people really have come to have such respect for National Action Network and Reverend Sharpton, because no matter how national we have become, and frankly, no matter how large Dr. Sharpton has come in the context of all of the work that he does, we have always remained on the ground in the great village of Harlem with the doors always open. And we expect the leaders of this city and nation, which is why we do the policy forum in D.C., the breakfast in D.C., to come before our community and present themselves and the work that in many respects they have promised to get done. And we're in the middle of a great battle now, particularly coming out of last summer, where our community not only really helped shape the national election and causing a president to not be reelected and a new president to be elected with the hopes that voting rights and policing issues that are significant to us will be addressed in both on the federal, state, and local levels.
That's right. You and I were talking earlier, and I was mentioning listening to Attorney Benjamin Crump speaking in the context of tying the dynamic of what we're seeing in terms of social justice issues, equal justice issues that are happening across the country, as being certainly very much behind the kind of historic turnout that we had in a historic presidential election. And we are now seeing, frankly, the White House, President Biden specifically, beginning to step out a bit more and frankly, as some might say, a little later than necessary in relationship to handling the challenge that the Republicans have erected in terms of voter suppression that awaits voters as we head towards the midterms, especially from our community.
No, that's so true, Gary. And you know, Reverend Jackson and Reverend Sharpton, they always have a way of really bringing this home and making it simple to really see why is it that people in our history have given their blood and their life to create an ability to vote in this nation. Because at the end of the day, when you think of anything that you do, whether it's your children in the school that they're in, whether it's the type of environment that you have to work in, whether it's, you know, where you can put your children in school, all of that is tied to voting. Because the people that you have to deal with to buy your home, to pay your taxes, to assist your children are all people that we elect through the ballots across this country. And so, you know, that's why we vote, because it matters who's on a jury, as we've come to see now with the George Floyd and Arbery verdicts. It matters that we vote, and it's an important thing, and that's why, again, that's why there's so much emphasis, particularly in our community, in ensuring that we have a full and fair access to the ballots across this country and in our community.
Now, there has always been, in relationship to the civil rights movement, and speaking certainly from the King and Jackson era related to that, of recognizing that our nonviolent protests would be rooted in legislative changes and whatnot. Can you address for a minute, in relationship to what we're seeing, again, with what the Republicans have done, what needs to be happening on the other side in terms of Democrats and how they have to wedge forward and we have to wedge forward in relationship, especially to the midterms, at being able to not only show up at the polls, but also obviously to make the changes, specifically in terms of the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and that sort of thing, that ultimately we have to be pinpointed on in terms of our activist efforts?
Yeah, Gary, let me do that in two parts. The first part, of course, is the voting rights. And again, if you just think about the 1965 Voting Rights Act and how significant that was, and how, you know, after we passed the 1964 Civil Rights Act, you know, Dr. King turned to the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and said, well, now we need voting rights. And Lyndon basically was saying, well, you know, I used everything I got to get the Civil Rights Act. Mm. I don't know if I can get that. And Dr. King said, well, when they left that, he turned to Dr. Abernathy and said, let's go get, you know, the president the power to bring about Voting Rights Act. And Selma became a part of the bloody history of this nation in terms of voting. But we got the Voting Rights Act. And as everyone remembers, not only the work of Dr. King, but the president standing up in the well of the Congress saying, you know, we shall overcome in terms of passing the Voting Rights Act. So let's jump, you know, all of those years forward to now, where in 2013, the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. And why was that important? Everyone in the nation was tuned into that. So it's not as if the Voting Rights Act does not have the weight and importance today that it did in 1965. And it's a tremendous tool. And the John Lewis bill in particular would fix the act pursuant to what the Supreme Court laid out in terms of allowing that act to be constitutional. And that really may be something, Gary, that you can get some consensus on in the Congress. You know, I'm not an elected official. I understand we have a very divided Congress, but sometimes you got to really do try to find the common ground, and the John Lewis Act may be the common ground to restore a tool that was so important to our nation's ability to ensure free and fair access to the polls. And then, of course, Dr. King, in his own speech in 1963, you know, talked about police brutality. And this is a tremendous work of the National Action Network, because if you look at the history from Dr. King, where you could kill a black man or woman or child, and there's no price to pay until now, where you've had you know, the officers in the George Floyd Act convicted of murder, and the people that killed Arbery convicted of murder, in most cases by a predominantly white jury. That is the power of the movement that has kept this on the forefront, and that is one of the reasons why the policing part of our desire to get the Justice in Policing Act, the George Floyd Act, passed by a Congress. So when the midterms come up, we must turn out. We must be motivated, you know, and when we can't get distracted, because we have to have the people that can be there to do the work and is willing to make their own sacrifices to ensure that these goals are ultimately met.
Absolutely. Well, the struggle continues, and so does the legacy. The public policy forum is coming up, in this case, on the New York side, January 17th, 1:30 p.m. at the House of Justice. You mentioned something, Brother Hardy, in the earlier part of our interview tonight about people being able to see this as well. Let's maybe do two things here. I'll let them know where they can see it, but also maybe lay out what you and the National Action Network have put together in terms of the protection of people who do come out.
Well, one, you know, all of the COVID protocols will be observed, so people will come into a safe environment at the House of Justice. You know, they will be temperature checked, 6 feet apart, the whole nine yards. But it also will be broadcast on our National Action Network web site. It will also be broadcast on our Facebook page and other streaming services, and of course we'll be there for the policy forum at the House of Justice. We'll kick off at 1 p.m. And come early, because we get a good turnout. So it's first come, first serve in terms of being inside and being able to be a part of it. But we want everybody to turn out, because it's always an important event for our community. And of course, they can go online at nationalactionnetwork.net to get all additional information, or call 877-626-4651, which is our toll-free number.
Brother Attorney Michael Hardy, Executive Vice President, Chief Counsel, Co-Founder of the National Action Network, joining us tonight inside of the broadcast and setting the stage for King Day 2022. Brother Hardy, I was saying a bit earlier, I'm trying to like practice getting those words out of my mouth. It's hard to believe, but when we go back over the decades that you, myself, Rev, and all of us have passed through, here we are at 2022, and the struggle continues.
Struggle continues, and just let me say and give our prayers and condolences and congratulations for a life well lived to both James and Toomey and our dear brother, Attorney Colin Moore, who recently have moved on to the ancestors.
Most assuredly, brother, they made a powerful contribution. They made a difference in life experience, no question. Give thanks, brother. Let's stay healthy. We'll talk to you again soon. Looking forward.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. MSF Gary Bird's Radio GBE, the Global Black Experience, radio on the key of life. And, of course, coming up next hour, Global Beat, where the message is in the music on 99.5 FM WBAI. As most of you know, of course, WBAI is keep the radio station on the air and keep all the various programs in, if you will, 99.5. And even with the platforms that we operate on,
folks, you really know how much I hate doing this, hate doing what I'm about to do. But I have to break into this program because of the connection that Imhotep is having, and hopefully that will improve. So what I will do, as I have done in the past, is to play a little bit of transitional music, and I'm going to reach out to him, and hopefully we'll get this show back up and running as soon as possible. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Actually, it's only half of a joke. I know that there are conspiracy theorists out there, among them some from my own family who have their own feelings about these things. We are still with you in Radio GBE at 99.5 FM WBI. I assure you, I'm doing what we would normally do. So whatever is happening, I have no idea what it's about. But between Reggie and myself, we'll do our best to work it out for tonight's broadcast and obviously for the upcoming Sunday broadcast.
Tell the truth, Imhotep. It's the Illuminati, man. It's the Illuminati, straight up. We might as well call it for what it is.
I'm just saying, I'm not in denial of conspiracy theories. I know some people like don't believe they happen, but I know that they do. So I'm just not going to stretch it out too much. But nonetheless, we are with you. We're broadcasting.
Conspiracy.
That's right. We're broadcasting through alternative means. I'll just say that right now. Well, standing by to join me, we got to get moving because we got a couple of things to take care of as we continue to move to our Friday night radio GBE. Is our brother, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, as you know, educator, and also, of course, reporter for the New York Amsterdam News, and my brother from the Great Lakes. It's a pleasure to welcome back Brother Herb Boy to our microphones here at WBAI 99.5 FM. Brother Herb, good evening. How you doing? Brother Herb, can you hear us?
Okay. All right. Jeez. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to get him.
Okay. Reggie is attempting to continue to make that connection, and we are continuing to, as they say, make it through using alternative means of communication in our program this evening to handle whatever the issues are that seem to be haunting us right now through the course of the last couple of broadcasts. Anyway, good evening to you all. Welcome to our program. Our thanks once again to Brother Attorney Michael Hardy from the National Action Network joining us tonight and setting the stage for a powerful King Day presentation happening of the National Action Network here in New York and also, as you heard him mention, in Washington, D.C. as well, and available to see online at nationalactionnetwork.net. Again, that'll be on Monday, King Day. Well, in relationship to where we are right now, sometimes Herb and I, when we get into conversation, we'll wind up mentioning the past as prologue. And certainly one of the areas of conversation that we'll get in tonight, I think certainly very definitely identifies that particular point very well in relationship to what some of us have faced in politics going back quite a few decades as well. But first, let's welcome our brother to the broadcast, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, educator, activist, and my brother from the Great Lakes, Brother Herb Boyd. Herb, good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. I guess we finally hooked up, huh?
Yes, my brother, past whatever the technological conspiracies are, whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
First of all, good to
see you. I'm Banners, but hey, Mark Meadows yes. And Stephen Bannon.
All of that, no question about
yes.
it. Herb, starting tonight in the program, we just got through talking to Attorney Michael Hardy, obviously setting mm-hmm. the stage for National Action Network's King Day coming up on Monday. Larry Hamm is going to follow you and I tonight in the broadcast to talk about a special march that the People's Organization for Progress is actually doing on King's actual birthday, the 15th. As we continue to move, if you will, into the 2020s, I was mentioning early in the broadcast that sometimes it feels as if we are in a time tunnel related to the 1960s and the conversations that we were having about voting rights and equal rights, even for that matter as well. As a historian, what's your perspective on the convergence that we're seeing and the kind of meeting of past, present, future that we seem to be in right now?
Well, so many things keep popping up to remind us, and I think you're absolutely right, Imhotep, in talking about a time warp. It's like, you know, you're caught in this vacuum, and things are just, if they're moving at all, they seem to be in a circular way. And the things we thought we had gotten past keep zooming back in front of us and giving us a new impetus in terms of struggle. And I think as you and Michael Hardy was talking about, in terms of a lucha continua, the struggle continues. It certainly does. And I hope we got the kind of forces and the certitude, the kind of vigor and vision that was so much a part of the previous generation. And they really went to the streets. They took it to the streets. They took it to the suites.
and mm-hmm. brought about mm-hmm. some changes. You know, we talk about the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Civil Rights Law of 64. Those are monumental achievements that have been eviscerated over the years. And so now you got voter suppression all over the place. Some 19 states have already put laws into effect to restrict and deny us of the franchise. So that means that, hey, we got to step up to the plate. Our ancestors did it. As Dr. John Henry Clark used to tell me all the time, we did it before, we can do it again.
Absolutely. Herb, one thing, it's interesting when you talk about the past and the struggles that we went through in our most recent phase of struggle, and specifically if you identify the 1960s. I was listening to the remarks from the late James M. Toomey and TEDx talk that he did where he was talking about the role of music in terms of struggle and challenge and so forth. And, you know, we can easily point to the 1960s and a kind of soundtrack, if you will, whether it's Curtis Mayfield, Nina Simone, Bob Dylan, you know, so many others. And one, I guess, wonders what maybe is the void that's happening right now that we're in relationship to the music, if you will, that ultimately themed itself. You know, I think we were talking about Sidney Poitier. That was a backdrop to much of his work as well.
My goodness, you know, it's such an interesting thing about James Ntume, who over the years was very close to me, had an opportunity. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw the obit that I did on him in this week's paper, but there's three things that he talked about in terms of the music. Mm-hmm. For him, the music was pretty much a template, an ever-evolving process. And, of course, he talked about his period with Miles Davis, 5 years with Miles Davis, and probably the most crucial mentor that he had. Yes. He always talked about three things, Imhotep, three things that were so significant in terms of his the kind of vision that he had on the music. First of all, he talked about imitation. And then beyond imitation is emulation. Beyond emulation was innovation. And he embodied all of those things in his progress in each yep. genre of music. He talked about his relationship with Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway in the way that mm-hmm. you have talked about your relationship with Stevie Wonder, the kind of collaborative thing that comes together and the beautiful music that he created for Phyllis Hyman, for Stephanie Mills. I mean, it's just amazing. We could devote a whole hour just talking about him to Ntume, right?
It's true. No doubt about it. It's true.
But I just suggest
there's
that people...
a place, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I was going to say, though, in relationship to how we lead into that, that there's a place, though, where certainly when we look at the struggle of the 60s in that particular dimension, and then look at the soundtrack, if you will, that was there for that movement. And obviously the question you were posing a moment ago about, as they say, are we up to the moment and the challenge? Certainly one of the aspects of that social movement that is always been a part of it is the role of music and culture. And I'm wondering, are we in a position right now, even with all the tools and technology that we have access to, where we are actually seeing or hearing the kind of musical messages that ultimately would push the movement forward, or certainly at least give it a soundtrack of influence?
I think so. You know, we got so many innovators out there on the music front. In fact, many of them, you talk about the sampling that has been done over the years and going
That's
back
right.
and retrieving. And, of course, in Ntume, you take Juicy Fruit, for example. I mean, it's been sampled about 80 times. But if you look
true.
At the top, look at the Billboard did a survey not too long ago, what they call the 500 top songs of all time. And three of those songs significantly comes out of the soundtrack of the liberation struggle, civil rights movement of the 1960s. Mm. Your theme song, for example, is right at the top, in the top five, you know, what's going on.
Yes.
You know, you talk about respect by Aretha Franklin. That's number one. My man Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna
Change
Come.
Is gonna come. That's right. That's right.
Oh, so the music has always been there. I mean, look at the current situation that's going on. It's hard for them to achieve that magnitude. They're talking about, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, blowing in the wind and that kind of thing. But we do have some practitioners out there, some composers, some musicians who are very much in tune with the times and trying to capture that through Black Lives Matter. I'm thinking about a number of the rappers have come in, you know, and made significant changes all along those lines. I feel that I was listening to the interview that Ntume did with on a couple of Jeff Chairman Mao, and as well as Tremaine the God. And as well as looking at some of the music, Ludacris, and the one that he really was talking about in terms of like the current situation. I mean, people talk about Kanye West and Drake and what have you, and whether or not they're equal to the task. But hey, some of those individuals who were part of the '60s and '70s have left such a powerful foundation. If we can build on that, and it may be the most important thing was to go back, retrieve some of that music and sample it again and put it back to in effect.
But what you're saying is so brilliant, though, because Ntume talks about that particular technique that he used in terms of creating the soundtrack for New York Undercover, of going back to
exactly
what you're describing and making those cover versions and so forth.
That's absolutely true, and it's one of the things, when I spent time with him, I remember one night I walked into a club, Showman, on 125th Street, and he was sitting there, and we had a drink or two, and we just reflected on where the music scene was and where he think it was going. He says, it's not too easy to predict where the music is going to go. So much depends on the individual musicians that come along, no matter what genre you're talking about, whether it's rhythm and blues or rock and roll or even classical music. You know, we have so many powerful people on that front. The Wynton Marsalis, for example, how do politics get into their music? Of course, it's pretty hard to find the politics when you're talking about an instrumental or orchestration, a concerto, a symphony. But some of those have themes that resonate in a very political way. So let's see if we can merge these things. We got to bring them together.
As I say, my programming clock is off cue tonight, so I'm going to squeeze some things in that are critical. Let's maybe for a moment, though, have you comment on what is taking place in terms of what we've seen with the recent ruling in the Supreme Court against the vaccine or test rules for businesses, kind of handcuffing President Biden on the vaccination front?
Well, you know, it's such a dynamic discussion that's going on, and heaven only knows, I mean, they've gotten to a situation now where you have standoffs, you know, individuals, and employees and these essential workers, many of them facing very, very hazardous situations, and they need to be protected. And I think what that particular ruling, of course, I didn't expect anything different coming from the Supreme Court. You know, they're such a reactionary court there. We're not going to get any supports whatsoever. It's good to hear, though, and we devoted some time and attention to President Biden finally taking a stance and speaking out, certainly on voter suppression, because that, along with the pandemic, you know, we got what you call a twin menace coming at us. And so which one are we going to fight for? You have to take a stand on each one of them, because each a very, very devastating and deleterious situation we face on the pandemic, COVID, Omicron, to say nothing of what's happening on voter suppression in this country. So gerrymandering and redistricting, all these things, are just such I mean, we're facing with so many problems to overcome. I don't know if we have enough troops to man all those borders of conflict, but hey, we got to step up to the plate. We got to do it, Imhotep.
Yeah, brother, we do. As they say, you know, find a way where there appears to be no way.
You know, no way at all.
No way at all. Our brother Herb Boyd is joining us tonight. Herb will join us in our Sunday
Mind Fight
broadcast. Thank you, Herb. Appreciate you. Herb will join us on Sunday night at GBE Mind Fight Gateway to the Mind Experience, and obviously we'll have hopefully our technical stuff kind of in order as well. Larry Hamm from the People's Organization for Progress is scheduled to join us in a moment to talk about the march on King's birthday. Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday is celebrated, as many of you know, on the Monday following his birthday, but his actual birthday is tomorrow, Saturday. And there'll be a march on King's birthday Saturday that will target exactly what Brother Herb and I were just talking about, voting rights and racial justice. But I'm going to hope that Larry can give us just a few moments here, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, in order to kind of move into our Global Beat experience and properly acknowledge and set the stage for a brother who certainly deserves all of the acknowledgments that we can possibly give. And we'll give as many as we give tonight, but it certainly will only be the beginning of what we have to say concerning our beloved brother, James M. Toomey, inside of Radio GBE at WBAI. Reggie, I think what we'll do in relationship to moving this with the incredible role that Brother Miles Davis played in the life of Brother James M. Toomey and what they both were able to create together, what they meant to each other, I'd like to maybe go into the track that Miles Davis did. And you have to imagine the kind of deep love and friendship and appreciation and comradeship that Miles had to have to actually have a song and to name the song after M. Toomey. Okay, so yes, there is such a song if you haven't heard it already. But we're going to use that for a moment to kind of set the stage as we move into our Global Beat experience at WBAI New York. Reminding you that it's listener-sponsored radio. It only exists because of what you do and your donations. Let's take a listen right now to a very special composition called M. Toomey, and you'll hear the voice of this brilliant brother as well that we'll share with you inside of our Message and the Music in Radio GBE, the Global Beat Experience. So that's exactly what happens with the Message and the Music on WBAI New York. I'm not afraid of the dark.
hope I can really give you a nice conversation. Now, I have a little physical challenge. I can't take a knee, but I'm going to take this stool. Now, my presentation today is going to deal with how music influences and is influenced by political movements and cultural mores. The title of my presentation quickly is The Cross-Pollination of Culture, Politics, and Art. And I see there's a lot of older people in there. That makes me more comfortable. And we can relate to political movements. I'm going to deal with the 50s, the 60s, and then move up until the mid-80s. The 70s wasn't really that happening for politics. Now, why is this important? Music is a unique art form. I mean, all art is special, but music is unique. First of all, it's the only art form I know that touches you, but you can't touch it. What do I mean by that? I can touch a piece of sculpture. I can touch a painting. I can touch a book of poetry. How do you touch a note? How do you touch sound? It runs through your body. It touches you, but you can't touch it. One thing about music also, we actually hear with three ears. The first ear is our mind. You know that music that you put on just so you can chill out and think? I might put on a little Miles or a little Coltrane. If I'm feeling particularly neurotic, I'll put on Stravinsky. Oh, some of y'all will get that later. But it's music that you just want to think. You don't want to do anything. The second ear that we hear with is the ear of the heart. There's nobody who's ever fallen out of love that didn't have a song, in some cases, a file of songs that you wanted to play and over, and it just made you remember that pain or remember the joy when you first fell in love. The third ear we hear with is the music and the sound of the body. That's the music that you hear to go, bam, you just want to dance. Now, as we move forward to make this connection between music and political movements, my frame of reference, to be clear today, is going to be about the African-American experience. We move into the 50s. Now, I always say this. Society is the thermostat that sets the temperature. Art and artists are the thermometers that reflect it. Now, what's the political thermostat of the 50s? Racial segregation. Now, the first half of the 50s, we didn't really have a civil rights movement. But what we had as young black men and women was our heroes. And those heroes were basically jazz musicians. Now, there were many jazz musicians, but one name rose above all that combined culture, politics, and art. And that man's name was Miles Davis. Now, why is Miles so special? Miles Davis was the first black artist that said he refused to play in segregated clubs. Also, the very first interview Hugh Hefner wanted in his Playboy magazine, the first issue, is with Miles Davis. He said he didn't want to talk to anybody in the world but Miles Davis. A lot of you may remember in 1986 when Jack Nicholson won his Academy for As Good As It Gets. He holds it up and he said, this is for Miles Davis. He affected the entire culture of art and politics and that development. Now, the second half of the 50s starts with 1955, December 6th, which is the beginning of what they call the Montgomery bus boycott that was organized by a dynamic young preacher named Martin Luther King. Now, here's what we have to get our heads around. The black community in Montgomery didn't catch a bus for 1 year. It started in December of 55, ended in December of 56. Now, we probably couldn't even get people in our neighborhood not to catch an Uber for a week. Imagine for an entire year, no one got on a bus. But what it led to, that was a tactic that led to the strategy of negotiating with the bus company in order to change the laws of Jim Crow down in the South. Now, as we move into the 60s, remember, the 50s doesn't really have protest movement. As we move into the 60s is very interesting. The first half of the 60s, the thermostat is on civil disobedience. Marches, sit-ins, you know, bus rides. But it also begins the emergence of what we call the protest movement. And that music really starts with a great artist named Bob Dylan.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Now, why was that significant to us? Because the first line in that song says, how many roads must a man walk down before we call him a man? That was his homage to the civil rights marches. We all heard it. Also out of that time, there was a great artist named Sam Cooke who did a song called A Change Is Gonna Come. You had Curtis Mayfield who wrote Keep On Pushing. The High Priestess, Nina Simone, Young, Gifted, and Black. These songs were inspiring us as young African Americans. Now, the second half of the 60s takes a different turn. Something comes up called the Vietnam War. And now you have protest songs that are signifying the resistance of the younger generation to the war. There was a wonderful song by Edward Starr called War. Now, this whole period of civil disruption started with the beginning of the 60s by the election of John F. Kennedy, who was a new voice. It was like Barack Obama before Barack. He wasn't black, but he had a great tan. And we were very hopeful at that time. Come 1963, August, there's an immense event called the March on Washington, out of which America becomes galvanized because for the first time, they can see this in real time on television. They don't have to read about it. They don't have to listen to the radio. They see this. Out of that emerges Martin Luther King as the premier leader of the civil rights movement with his great speech, I Have a Dream. Fast forward, November of 63, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The country's thrown into chaos. Now we have the disruption of the assassination of Martin Luther King. In 1968, Martin Luther King is assassinated. Revolts break out all over America, over 100 cities. Chaos is ensuing. That's April of 68. Fast forward to June of 68 is the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. The 60s was like, it was almost like the decade of assassination. 65, you had the assassination of Malcolm X. And that's why I say part of the reason for the 70s not being that politically involved is that we kind of lost hope. The political movements died out. Those of you that were involved in all the protests across the college campuses, like as I was, you know, I'm colorful, but I'm 71, you know what I mean? But the 70s, we kind of find that readjustment. Now, an interesting thing happens in the early 80s. What is the thermostat politically for the early 80s? Well, the thermostat for young black America is that there was no political movement. But for the first time, the music of that period inspired movement, not the other way around. And it started with a group called Grandmaster Flash, and it was a song called The Message. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Then from there is the emergence of one of the most powerful and influential bands of the rest of the 80s and early 90s and going into 2000, a group called Public Enemy. And they had a song called Fight the Power.
89 the number, another summer. sound of the funky drummer. Music hit your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Hey, listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Hey, giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Got to give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Now, that inspires the whole generation of what we call the hip-hop generation. It's almost like the music inspired them to pursue. They began to pursue the idea of regenerating what we were doing in the 60s. I mean, young blacks and young whites, young Latinos and Asians. It was the spirit of revolution. Now, we're not talking about revolution like this, bow bow, but revolution of the mind, revolution of the politics. And the music inspired the need for a movement. And that kind of culminated to the 1996 Million Man March. That brought in the youth. Now, where are we now? Like I said, I make my stuff short. I believe brevity is the soul of wit. Where are we now? I'm really interested to see where the music goes for this generation. Because, as I said, the thermostat is society, the temperature. What temperature are we dealing with now? What temperature is watching the Kavanaugh the nomination? What temperature are we watching with two parties that are fighting each other and they'll rather burn the village down than try to communicate? We're in a very delicate period right now. You know, I say left wing or right wing, at a certain point now, it's starting to be on the same bird. Forget your political persuasion. But there's going to be a music that comes out of this. And my hope is that we're all there to inspire and absorb what the future brings. Whatever the future brings, it'll always be something that's next. Thank you.
Brilliant and beautiful. Brother James and Tume, inside of Radio GBE at WBAI. There's a message in the music.
Son of jazz saxophone great Jimmy Heath, raised by incredible parents James and Bertha Forman. He pursued training as a swimmer, ironically, while attending Pasadena City College and was recruited for the 1968 Olympics, but decided to take a different direction and join the cultural nationalist organization US, of course, under Dr. Maulana Karanga. It was during that time that he actually took the namesake of Mtume, Swahili for messenger. In the early 1970s, Mtume shifted towards music as a solid percussionist who went on to tour and record, as we know, with Miles Davis. Mtume would eventually record with his own group, Mtume Umoja Ensemble, as well as on sessions with Duke Ellington, McCoy Tyner, Freddie Hubbard, Sonny Rollins, and a host of other jazz greats. But the 1970s, with longtime musical partner Reggie Lewis, Mtume forged the path combining soul, jazz, and funk. And interestingly enough, they called it Sophistafunk. The result was a slew of hit productions with Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway, The Closer I Get to You, Back Together Again, Phyllis Hyman, You Know How to Love Me, and Stephanie Mills, What You Gonna Do With My Lovin', all classics and never knew love like this before. In the early 1980s, Mtume formed the group that bore his namesake and created five best-selling albums as well as 11 R&B hits, including the number one multi-platinum smash that you're listening to Juicy Fruit. And the top three hit, You, Me, and He, in 1984. It was during that time that Mtume took his sophistafunk sound and combined it with the emerging technology of drum machines and synthesizers. In the 1990s, Mtume made his way into the world of soundtracks, creating music for films such as scoring for the film Native Son, and served as the music supervisor for the television series New York Undercover, producing the music for scenes at the fictional nightclub Natalie. At the same time, Mtume's activism continued with his co-hosting duties on New York City's WBLS-FM's community talk series Open Line, a role that he served for 18 years. The Millennium found Mtume sharing his knowledge regarding the business of music in arenas like the Red Bull Academy in Tokyo, TED Talks, which you just heard a moment ago. He is survived by his wife, Camille Mtume, brother, Jeffrey Foreman, sons, Falu Mtume, Richard Johnson, daughters, Benin Mtume, Eshe King, Ife Mtume, Sanda Lee, grandchildren, Bakari Mtume, Yamani Mtume, Craig Mcargo, Mazi Mtume, Aya Mtume, and Jahazi Mtume. We are sending them this evening our condolences and ultimately, of course, our deepest level of appreciation for their care of this brilliant and beautiful brother. No longer with us on the physical side, but certainly, if you will, still with us as a powerful ancestor, and his message lives on. Well, standing by to join me is a brother that I know has very deep appreciation of this brother, especially on the Jersey side of things. He joins us inside of the program this evening as we continue to set the stage for the very dynamics of the eras that Brother Mtume was talking about in terms of the 1960s and the conversations I had with Brother Herb Boyd and attorney Michael Hardy tonight. I'm speaking of Brother Larry Hamm. He is the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress and joins us tonight inside of the broadcast to set the stage for a very powerful event that is certainly happening in the spirit of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That event, as we have talked about leading up to this broadcast we're doing tonight and the day before, is the March on King's Birthday, Saturday, which will target voting rights and racial justice. Let's welcome the chairman himself of the People's Organization for Progress and our brother, who has been with us for so long and through so many struggles, Brother Larry Hamm. Brother Larry, good evening. How you doing?
Hotep, Hotep, man. That's the best introduction I think I ever had in my life.
Give thanks, brother.
You're a beautiful brother, man. And that tribute that you just gave to Mtume was outstanding. Mtume is a giant in our community, and he leaves huge footprints that will traverse time. You know, people will be talking about him too many decades from now.
As I say, still listening to his music decades from now, no question.
That's right. But Imhotep, my association with Mtume goes back almost five decades.
Mm.
And many people don't know that, you know. I met Mtume for the first time in 1979. We had a mutual friend, and I was at that friend's house, and Mtume was there at that time. And just when we started debating music, almost the same discussion you and Mtume having tonight on that recording, we were having that debate in the house at that time. And,
amazing.
And we were very close. Mtume was on the West Coast with Maulana Karanga and the US organization. And then around 1970, he and some other brothers, including a brother that was in our organization, I think you mentioned some months ago, Brother Aminifu, who passed away.
Yeah.
Both of them had been on the West Coast with Maulana Karanga and the US organization. Then they left in the early 70s. They came to the East Coast to work with Amiri. Now we say Amiri Baraka, but you know, at that time we said Imamu Baraka.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mtume, you know, made that shift. You know, I don't know how much of a shift it was, because, you know, Mtume comes from a musical family. I believe his father is the musician Jimmy East, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's
yeah. Right. So, you know, music is like in his vein, but politics is also in his vein. And you know that, and we all know that because of the tremendous contribution he made to the Open Line show on both stations. As you know, that show used to be on one station, now it's on BLS. But Mtume is a tremendous brother, man. I know him. I know his wife, Camille. I met his son. But, you know, he will be sorely missed, but he will be remembered for generations to come. I just can't say enough about him.
That's right. Yeah, Larry, I'm with you so much, Larry, and there's a place where there's some brothers who, you know, and sisters for that matter, who make that transition, but their spirit is so strong that they still with you. Like, you feel them the same way you felt them with them being here physically. So, you know, they're on the other side doing their work. You know, no question about that. Yeah.
And
no
you know, the group, he had a group call him to me by the same name. And they made that song, Juicy Fruit. Now, the sister that's the lead singer on Juicy Fruit, we went to school together. She's graduated the same class. I'm telling you, this world is so small. Her name was Tawatha. You know, and she
kept
that.
I was going to say, you talk about Tawatha, of course, yes.
That's right. She kept that as a stage name, but we both, same class. I mean, we were close friends. I mean, I can say that, but we were close friends. We were in the same senior class. We both graduated in 1971. But, you know, she went on to become a big star, and I went on to become a street corner agitator.
Well, listen, I got to watch the time here because and I have talked, obviously, about the march that's coming up previous to now. But I just wanted to get a last moment in before you do what you're going to be doing tomorrow with the march on Dr. King's birthday, which is actually Saturday, as you have made clear and as I've attempted to make clear over the years for folks, targeting voting rights and racial justice. Set the stage for that and, of course, where the target spots are going to be in terms of where the march will take place.
That's right. Well, tomorrow, you know, the People's Organization for Progress, we annually march for Dr. King. And like with Black History Month, we shape the theme for the King March each year according to the issues that we're dealing with at the time. And, of course, it's eminently clear that the issue of the day is voting rights and the attack on voting rights that's going on across this country. 440 bills introduced in 49 states, all designed to circumscribe people's ability to exercise their right to vote. So the People's Organization for Progress will be having the Martin Luther King March for Voting Rights and Racial Justice tomorrow, Saturday, January 15th, his actual birthday. And the march will be at 12 noon. It will start at 12 noon. And we're starting at the Lincoln statue, which is a kind of traditional starting place for us. That the address of that statue is 12 Springfield Avenue. It's at the intersection of West Market Street and Springfield Avenue in the heart of downtown Newark. And then we will march through Newark and come back and end the march at the new Martin Luther King statue in front of the Hall of Records. I don't know, Brother Imhotep, if you have seen that statue. It's huge, man. It must be the biggest statue outside of Washington, you know. And this is the second statue. They had another statue, which was also about maybe 14 feet, 15 feet tall. But this one is like two stories, man. So we'll end the march there. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's just amazing.
It's amazing, man, when you consider that the street that statue is on is named Martin Luther King Boulevard. And when the move was made to change the name from High Street to Martin Luther King Boulevard, all the colleges raised hell. They didn't want to change their stationery and put Martin Luther King's name on there. But they didn't have control of it because Black Power had come to Newark in 1970.
Loud and clear.
You know. But if people want more information, they can contact us at 973-801-0001. And this is one of those times when people really need to march because the Senate is going to take up these voting rights bills. The outcome is not, you know, don't look good. So to use that extra pressure, you know, that push, now's the time to push.
You know, it's interesting the way things work out, because we had some technical challenges tonight that kind of, you know, pushed us around a little bit. But Reggie and I, we're known for meeting technical challenges, so it's fine, no problem. But it turned out to be actually more than I could have anticipated for with what you shared, first of all, concerning Brother Mtume, and then secondarily, of course, what we're talking about now, coming behind our conversation with Brother Herb and Brother Michael Hardy as well. I mean, it's just all perfect and in divine order as usual. But I want
to... Motet, let me ask you something real quick. Sure. Real quick. Aren't these some extraordinary times that we're seeing today?
Without doubt.
Don't you get that feel like stuff that you couldn't have imagined you have seen now? Because, you know, you and I, we in that same group.
Yes.
And we're looking down the decades now.
Yep.
Clearly, we're in some extraordinary times, brother.
I am with you all the way. Sometimes I use the word convergence, and I'm frankly almost like at a level of creating something beyond that, because it's a multiple set of convergences on top of convergences that we are actually seeing that ultimately it indicates some kind of a peak, I'll say it that way, one way or the
Absolutely.
Other. And I think that's what a lot of people are concerned about, because we're not clear which way it's going to tip. We know which way we want it to tip, but ultimately, you know, destiny will play its own role in that. But, hey, Larry, we'll be where we're supposed to be on the front lines. Either way.
Man, who you telling? This is one of the Malcolm moments. The chicken's coming home on the roost, right?
On
We've
the
been
real
overthrowing
side.
Other people's governments all these years. That's on the verge of happening here, right?
Amazing. Just the most amazing. That's right. And from within, ironically, of all places.
That's
right. For sure.
That's right.
Larry, listen, I'm giving thanks. Just give that information one more time in terms of the number for people to reach out to get more information.
Yes. If you wanted more information about the march tomorrow, you can call 973-801-0001. If you're planning to come to the march, wear your mask. Going to be practicing safe protocols here, so everybody wear their mask and dress warm, because it's supposed to be 20 and below tomorrow.
Yep, that's right.
And the march will start once again at the Lincoln Statue, 12 Springfield Avenue, intersection of Springfield Avenue and West Market Street in the heart of downtown North. And we want everybody to come out. We need a strong showing. And if you have any questions, give us a call.
He is the chairman, Larry Hamm, of course, of the People's Organization for Progress, and a brother who's a family member of our Radio GBE. Wishing the best, brother. Stay strong, stay safe.
You too, brother. Stay strong and stay safe.
It's Radio GBE on WBAI. And, of course, moving with radio and the key of life and the global beat experience, where the message is in the music. Well, standing by to join us tonight is my Piscean sister and soul, weekly columnist for Caribbean Life, the largest Caribbean circulated newspaper in the USA, and entertainment editor at iReadTimes.com. I'm talking about Bennett K. Price, joining us globetrotting in the experience at WBAI. Jr. Again, how to build your life blueprint. That's a word from Bird tonight, coming up before we wrap it up this evening at Radio GBE. Bennett K. Price, how you doing, sis?
Well, Imhotep is the 14th, and you know, 14th is my lucky number. It's your should be your lucky number.
Mine too.
And we're 14 days into the month, so I will continue to urge viewers to watch the ongoing saga of the Emmett Till story that is going to be on next Thursday on Channel 7 at 8 o'clock. It's co-produced by Jay-Z and Will Smith. It's a Roc Nation production, and it really sheds a light on what happened to Emmett Till. But Imhotep, in keeping with what you're doing tonight, I'm going to yield a little bit to a sister of mine afterwards, but I just want to mention that James M. Toomey, he died on the same day that Amiri Baraka transitioned, January 9th. Mm-hmm. And your numerologist was on board, he would talk about the significance of those geniuses leaving us on the same day.
Yeah.
But Imhotep, yeah. It's like from the 1st of January, it seems like every single day I've been getting these advisories. Calvin Simon of Parliament Funkadelic, original member, he passed. Mm. Of course, mentioned attorney, Guyanese genius attorney, who defended Corey Wise in the Central Park Jogger case, attorney mm-hmm. Colin Moore.
That's right.
Former
That's
state right. senator from Panama, Waldemar Stewart. Of course, we heard about Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes. Lani Guinier, I'll always remember her because she gave the keynote address. My son graduated from Hunter College.
Mm.
Actor Max Julien. Past. Remember him from all those Blaxploitation
movies,
The
absolutely.
Mac.
The Mac, all of that, yeah.
And the voice of Marcus Garvey, Ron Bob Semple, transitioned. Of course, actor Sidney Poitier. Michael Lang, who was renowned for geniusly putting on Woodstock, he passed. Sinead O'Connor's 17-year-old son, Shane, he passed, and I was also shocked when I heard that Jesse D, he was the original member of, well, he was one of the founders of the group, Force MDs. He passed on January 5th. Phil Kapita Bogdanovich, you know, so many yeah. wonderful yeah. films. And, of course, everybody's talking about Bob Saget.
Yep.
Now, one yep. of the things that I talked about in spurts, but I think my sister, Ann Tripp, really did a wonderful, wonderful tribute to those who passed in 2021. And I just want to just play what we recorded for everyone to hear.
Oh, great,
if
great, great.
Ready. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Almost...
Okay, no problem. Take your time. No, don't take your time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm challenged. I'm still experiencing some challenges over here. It will get. It will happen. Just
okay.
Oh, no, yeah, we're working and against the funky forces of the universe.
I understand
tonight.
The system, and I had also asked Reggie to play Steel Pulse's tribute to the Martyrs because. That
yes,
song really
yes.
speaks.
But listen, while Reggie's doing that, I got to go back a few steps with you. And I'm holding my breath because I'm hoping that I did not hear what I think I heard. You mentioned Marcus Garvey, and in a context that you mentioned the voice of Marcus Garvey. What did you say?
Ron
exactly?
Bob Semple.
Are you telling me that Ron Bob Semple passed?
Yes, he did.
Oh, Vanette, no.
I thought,
no.
Every day I was sending you stuff, I thought I'd sent that to you.
No, oh, no, no, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's so many that, you know, you almost can't keep up, you know, with the every single day. And I've just given you 14 names, you know, and today's the 14th.
I'm already where I am related to Mtume and Partier and the others and people that I do are not public people. But you're telling me Ron Bob Simple. Ron is my friend.
I know.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
I know.
Man.
I know. And he just made us hear Marcus Garvey every time he spoke. His whole life was dedicated. You know, he would dress like Marcus Garvey, and he resembled Marcus Garvey. And it was not just a theatrical homage, but it was just a heartfelt homage that everybody could relate to.
Let me tell you, the peak that we had with Brother Ron was when we were broadcasting live from the Apollo Theater. And we had a thing we called GBE Theater of the Mind. And we had the live audience. And we had Ron Bob Simple make his entrance from the back of the theater, walking through the theater in his full Garvey regalia. When I tell you, you could hear like the breath come out of everyone as he walked in with the majesty and the energy. And of course, once he stood there and they saw him and he opened his mouth, and under those Apollo lights and the stage force of that presence,
the spirit of Garvey came alive.
Oh my God, the spirit of Garvey was alive in that moment. He brought Garvey to the Apollo.
Okay, folks, I got that clip up and ready if you want that to play right now.
Okay. Reggie,
and give him a tip about Mtume.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say about Mtume. You see that prop that I sent you, I found it in my house. You know, you can call me a hoarder, but when they had the release party for Juicy Fruit, when Epic Records had the party, that big Juicy Fruit blow-up prop was part of the decoration, and
I did see it. Oh, my God.
I kept it all that time, so, you know, I just, you know, had to send you a picture of it, you know. Yes.
Wow. I think Reggie has something to play for us right now.
Yes, I got it ready.
Okay, let's take a listen, Brother Reggie.
A tribute to the ancestors.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, no doubt about it. Let's move into spiritualizing the moment with the ancestors in Radio GBE at WBAI.
It's a hard.
This is Ann Tripp with Some of Those We Lost.
Live and let die.
Actor Yaphet Kotto.
Did you miss with that?
That's between Solitaire and myself.
Did you touch her?
When I See Kananga.
Right.
Bond girl Tanya Roberts. Designer Virgil Abloh. Melvin Van Peebles.
Got a sweet back.
Night Court's Charlie Robinson, Gregory Sierra, and Hal Holbrook. Secretary of State Colin Powell. Congressman John Lewis.
I saw those signs that said white men, colored men. I didn't like those signs, and I wanted to do something about it.
Authors Anne Rice, Bell Hooks, and Eric Jerome Dickey. Bunny Whaler, Lee Scratch Perry, Jerry Douglas, Ed Asner, martial artist Sonny Chiba, Elgin Baylor. Golfer Lee Elder, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Leon Spinks, and Hank Aaron.
A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South.
DMX, Shock G, Phil Spector, The Bell's Sarah Dash, band leader Johnny Pacheco, Chick Corea, Mary Wilson, Lloyd Price, Larry King, journalist Bill McCreary, Biz Markie, Kool & the Gang's Dennis Thomas, Joe Simon, Tommy DeBarge, and Ralph Tavares, Jessica Walter, comedian Paul Mooney.
Let slavery come back in the mall. They'll be on that porch. Welcome home. Your room is just like it was. We haven't changed it.
Reverend Frederick K.C. Price.
99% of people don't even like what they do. Most people don't, because before I got into ministry, I did not like nothing that I was doing.
Cicely Tyson.
things began to happen, and people began to talk about, you know, this new actress, Cicely Tyson, and next thing I knew, I was here in front of you.
Michael K. Williams.
Tell that boy, he ain't mad enough to come down to the street with Omar.
Clarence Williams III.
Welcome
to hell. NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and Stephen Sondheim.
Maria.
This has been Ann Tripp.
Mouthful, wasn't it, Imhotep?
Look, from the point that you mentioned Brother Ron Bob Semple and obviously the collection of passings that we've actually gone through here, I have never heard anything that that hit me this hard, really, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is, it's beyond. That's all I can say.
And him with that, those are just celebrated names. I've heard from other, just friends, about other passings that I just can't come to grips with. It's like you get up in the morning and the first thing you see, this person passed, that person. It's just, it's hard to come to terms with. So I don't know if, you know, if it's the age thing that we're at that age or whatever, but it is, it's we're losing a lot of folks.
Yeah. I think if you look at COVID, your point is well taken. I think if you look at COVID combined with the age transitions, because I mentioned earlier in the broadcast comments from Quincy Jones at one point, this is at least, I said a year, but at least a couple of years ago. And it wasn't COVID related. Quincy was commenting in a Entertainment Tonight story about a legend who had passed and said in that time, this was before COVID, that in that last year, he had lost 104 people.
Yeah, that was astounding when I heard you say it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was not COVID-related at all. You know, this is just age, attrition, and obviously, you know, various challenges that we face in the community. But I don't know. I'm devastated.
When Ann said Paul Mooney, because I'd forgotten,
gosh.
Paul Mooney did a show on WBLS, a morning show.
He sure did.
So,
absolutely.
And Clarence Williams III, just all those people that Sarah Dash just, you know, she just brought back all those names that even Mary Wilson. I met Mary Wilson because of Ann Tripp, you know? Ann Tripp used to bring her to my parties.
Let me tell you, I grew up on Mary like we all did with the Supremes, and I wound up meeting Mary Wilson when I was in England, you know, on the recording thing I was doing at that time, and had a chance to, you know, spend some time with her over in England as well.
And you know she's a Piscean.
I do know. Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware. Matter of fact, there's another story to that, but that's another day. my goodness, what a moment. What a moment.
I know, a word from Bird. I mean, you probably don't have any words right now because...
Listen, let me say something. I'm glad I don't have to give them because we're going to hear from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who in perfectly timed in relationship to the brand new year and as we move deep in the decade, Dr. King has a speech that he did, which, interestingly enough, was called How to Design Your Life Blueprint. And I know with all of us, if you will, collectively looking at the issue of the new year and, you know, where you want to go, what you want to do, what you have to do, and what you need to do, I thought that this particular speech from Dr. King would be very important for our brothers and sisters to hear. We're going to be giving the short version tonight, which is a couple of minutes long, but then on Sunday in the Mind Flight, we're going to put in the Mind Flight spotlight tonight, the full 20-minute version of Dr. King's speech the day before the holiday.
Thank you, Motep. I'll listen in.
Giving thanks. Much love. Stay safe. Stay strong. All right. God bless. Well, we've come to the last moments of our broadcast tonight. Indeed, it is word from Bird. And as Finette's saying, and I'm saying to her, I'm literally speechless. And certainly whatever divine intervention there was that had me reach for this particular piece, I'm thankful for. And I think that we all can be thankful for the amazing legacy that is there from the work of so many of our ancestors who have passed and who left work in the form of various types of recordings, whether it be music, speeches, acting, film, whatever, that ultimately are still there to inspire us. Let's listen as we move into the closing tonight of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as we move towards King Day coming up on Monday and Dr. King's birthday tomorrow. Here, Dr. King speaks with us from the other side, a giant of a black experience, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on how to design your life blueprint.
George Jackson, imprisonment, solitary confinement.
This is the most important and crucial period of your lives, for what you do now and what you decide now at this age may well determine which way your life shall go. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint. And I want to suggest some of the things that should be in your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as a basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. Once you discover what it will be, set out to do it, and to do it well. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Finally, in your life's blueprint, must be a commitment to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. Well, life for none of us has been a crystal stair, but we must keep moving. We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., How to Design Your Life Blueprint. That's the mini version of that speech. We'll have the full version, the 20-minute version, and GBE Mind Flight Gateway to the Black Experience at WBI, Sunday night, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Well, moving into our final moments, we just want to thank you all for your support in relationship to the WBAI Power of Power. Apparently, we raised close to $54,000 in December. However, the goal was $250,000. We're not going to reach that goal, obviously, but we are and can reach $100,000 by the end of this month and put the campaign to rest. We just ask you and yours to continue to support WBAI and certainly to pass it on to friends, our family, and course, turning as many people as you can on to what is happening in these airwaves, where producers are doing so much to create infotainment, edutainment, and empowerment for our community. You can continue to make a difference. Of course, visit our website, our donation site at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. Or call us with your donations at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. 1-800-273-5050. Our goal now to raise $100,000. We're halfway there, certainly, and obviously looking forward to completing the experience by the end of this month. We can do it with your continued support. And those of you who've already given, we just can't thank you enough for your support of this radio station and keeping these airwaves exactly as what they are, a tower of power. And what's up, Gary Bird Radio GBE is created, hosted, and executive produced by yours truly. Production support from Sister Nyeri Shannon. And of course, mix mastered by our in-studio engineer and mix master dealing with the funky forces of the universe tonight, Brother Reggie Johnson. Thanks to all of our guests who joined us this evening in the broadcast, attorney Michael Hardy, chief counsel and co-founder of the National Action Network. Brother Herb Boyd, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, and senior reporter for the New York Amsterdam News. Brother Larry Tam, chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. Tonight, we are sending our deepest sympathy and appreciation to the family, the friends, and the followers of the late James M. Toomey, brilliant Grammy Award-winning musician, composer, arranger, and producer, and broadcast commentator, as well as you heard tonight, powerful musicologist as well. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Coming up next, author and, of course, Sister Vinette K. Price. I can't remember, forget my sister. Going to wrap up the broadcast tonight, and I got to pass a special thanks to Sister Ann Tripp. From other station down the dial, BLS, powerful, powerful contribution to the airwaves tonight. Again, most of all, thanks to you for listening. Coming up next, author and storyteller Malika Lee Whitney is next, Untitled, followed by the Harlem Connection, lighting up your late Friday night. Sunday morning, join us down the dial on BLS for our Wake Up Everybody Express Yourself show. And Sunday evening, we're back right here with Radio GBE Mind Flight, your gateway to the Black experience, 6:30 to 8 p.m., setting the stage for King Day with Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, What is Your Life Blueprint? Thanks for joining us. Remember, the key to tomorrow is what we do today. The decision to work or whether to play, both have their place in the human life stream, and only one will achieve your dream. Remember that life is the ultimate trip once you learn to experience it, because in the end, it's so true. Experience is the best teacher. We say to you and yours as we end the evening for us, Hotep, Sankofa, and GBE. God bless everybody.
All of the excitement about, well, DJ Black Icon One, The Law, and myself, Mama Soul, are super excited to share with you the Harlem Connection to Women Who Rock. And we will be joined by a special guest as well, the one and only Miss Liv Warfield, because she is indeed a woman who rocks. So join us this Friday, 10 p.m., right here on WBAI 99.5 FM,
New York,
and worldwide on WBAI.org. And don't forget to catch the replay on Sundays at 3 a.m. And also, we invite you to take a deeper dive into the Harlem Connection radio show by listening to the program archives.
This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. The Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit proudly announces the Community Cares Listening Line for Black first responders and essential workers. We're here and we're listening. The Community Cares Listening Line is a free, confidential service staffed with responsive volunteers who can provide emotional support and share information with our callers. If you're feeling anxious, afraid, distressed, burdened, or overwhelmed by a range of emotions, please call the Community Cares Listening Line at 877-719-1117. That's 877-719-1117.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
Yo, turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund@wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Hey. Thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are. We hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
Good.
Wall Street's king of the junk bonds was indicted today.
Friday's huge oil spill off Valdez, Alaska.
Mrs. Helmsley is accused of tax evasion.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
This week on WBAI Playhouse, a trip backwards in time to the 1980s, where the greed and extravagance of a decade comes crashing down on the life of the protagonist in Arthur Miller's The Ride Down Mount Morgan.
Why can't I move? Do you mind?
You're all in a cast. You broke a lot of bones.
Who?